This is Seven Mountain Business Radio. Each week, local experts discuss how the Bible is filled with sound business advice. Learn how to build effective systems, marketing, real estate mastery, and more. Now, here is your host, Karen Conrad.
Hello, and welcome to Seven Mountains Kingdom Business Radio. That's a long title, isn't it? I'm your host, Karen Conrad, and I'm just really glad that you joined me today. We're in a series called Vision to Reality. And, you know, I just got back from a conference that I was speaking at in Washington, D.C. It's a dream conference, and it was from by Lance Wallno. And actually, he is the originator of Seven Mountains. And so it was so fun to be around a group of people that is all about, you know, Seven Mountains and positively affecting culture, but also understanding that our walk in faith, our relationship being a Christian, our relationship with the Lord is a practical one as well as a spiritual one. And sometimes I think we kind of get in a rut where we just think, you know what, our relationship with Jesus is separate from my day to day, but it just doesn't work that way. Because when we are Christians, when we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, do you know He wants all of us? And believe me, we want all of Him. He comes and fills us up in every area. And with that comes His wisdom, His knowledge. And those are all things that God wants to help us with day to day. He wants to help us in our businesses. He wants to help us to be a parent, to be a good wife or a good husband. He wants to help us in every area of our life. And so this series, Vision to Reality, is one that, you know, I think if you are in business, it's going to help you so much. But let's say you're not in business right now. Let's say you're pursuing something else that God has put on your heart. What I'm talking about, these steps, are something that you can apply in really any area of your life. So we are going to continue in this series, Vision to Reality. And I wanted to encourage you with a couple things before I got started really in the technical parts of this program, because we do go through a lot of steps. And a matter of fact, over the weekend, this is going to be funny, but I added two more steps. I kind of saw that, wow, I'm going to add this in there, some revelation that I'll be sharing with you today. But listen to this. I want to read this definition of faith to you, and I think it will be a great encouragement. Faith is the ability to have a vision for what God wants to be done and to confidently believe that it will be accomplished in spite of circumstances and appearances to the contrary. Faith plus action transforms vision into reality. All right, I'm going to repeat that. There's a lot in here. So again, here's the definition of faith that I wanted to share with you. Faith is the ability to have a vision for what God wants to be done and to confidently believe that it will be accomplished in spite of circumstances and appearances to the contrary. Do you know, a lot of times when we think about faith, we don't need faith if everything in the natural lines up with what we're believing God for, because then it would just be visible. And faith is really about the things that are not seen, and God tells us to call those things that are not as though they were. And what He's saying is that if we get a download from God, if we get direction from Him, or if there's something that's solid in the Word that you just know, like, for example, He's given us the power to get wealth, all right? So I don't have to sit and wonder if I have the power. He has already given that to me. Now I have a responsibility to steward it, right? And to do all I can do in the natural and to line myself up with that. But we have to realize that the things that we know that God wants us to do in our businesses, the vision that He's given us, is something that we have to work with Him to achieve. And we have to look at and know, we don't see it today, but that process of faith, it will give us confidence as if we can go forth as if it's already done. It's kind of it's a way to approach things. So let me just give you an example of that. Like over the weekend, I had some amazing things spoken to me, over me, about things that they were saying, that they were seeing, or that the Lord had prompted them to come and encourage me with. And when we get those words, we really have to judge them, first of all. Is it from God? And anything from God is good. And so these were very good. And when I really felt like, you know what, I resonate with some of the things that people were saying they were seeing me doing, or accomplishing, or helping with, those types of things, I have a choice to say yes to that. And that really is a step of faith. And it seems like a small thing, but really our walk of faith is not complicated. It's really when we say, okay, Lord, I see this. I see what you want done, or I see this in the Word. And I am going to put myself in agreement with that. And when we do that, that is faith, but that also is what allows God to work through us and bring those things to us, either through other people, open doors of opportunity, which is all goes back to people as well. So when you've got a vision and you want to apply faith to it, that's what you do. You just say, yes, Lord, I see that, and I'm going to put myself in agreement and say yes, despite myself, despite my appearances to the contrary, maybe even despite other people saying, oh my goodness, that will never come to pass. When you agree with God, that's the only agreement that you need. But if we don't agree with God, if we reject that, or if we say, no, this isn't possible, do you know He cannot bring it to pass in our life with us not in agreement with it? Then it goes on to say, faith plus action transforms vision into reality. So the first step is to say yes and to agree and decide that we're going to accept this and go forward in faith. And then the second part of it, which is a process, is doing what is necessary to make that vision become a reality. And that's what we're talking about in this series. So if that's something that interests you, if that's something you're saying, you know what, I'm ready. I'm going to say yes to God. And let's see what those steps are to actually bring that vision into reality. All right, so I also want to just give you a couple scriptures here before we get started today. This is a scripture I use a lot, but I think it's going to encourage you today. Joshua 3:5 says this, "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves for His purpose, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders and miracles among you.'" Isn't that awesome? And John 15:16, if you're finding yourself in a place or a position that you just wonder, my goodness, is there going to be any good that's coming out of this? It says this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and purposely planted you so that you could go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name as my representative, He may give you." Wow, that is powerful. If you ever have a question whether abundance is a God idea or not, I think this scripture is going to really bless you. Abundance from gifts and talents is God's idea. And listen to Matthew 25:29. It says this, "For to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely." Do you see that? There is a stewardship responsibility in there. "For to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God." That's another key. Do you know, a grateful heart. I think this is actually a VeggieTales song that I used to listen to with Levi when he was young and teaching children's ministry. A grateful heart, I'm sorry, is a happy heart. So we can be happy through gratefulness. Sometimes what we focus on and what we're really trying to achieve is happiness. If you look around the world, I would say that everybody has a goal of being happy. But we don't always know how to get there. And this verse gives us a really good clue. Those that value his blessings and gifts from God and uses them wisely, more will be given. And he will be richly supplied so that he will have in abundance. But from the one who does not have, because listen to why people don't have. This may speak to you. This may minister to you. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away. Now, this is a rich verse, and I don't claim to understand all of it, but when I look at that, there's a couple things that jump out to me that actually are very encouraging. One of them is that if I value his blessings and gifts, and if I use them wisely, more will be given. So that means that there are gifts from God that maybe were even intended for someone else that chose to ignore, disregard, or maybe misappropriate those gifts. I can believe God for those gifts throughout my entire life. You know, a lot of times what we see is people that are young, they have really strong gifts, okay? And part of the learning curve, and we've all been there, part of my learning curve was that I had these gifts and talents to bring vision to reality, but I wasn't very mature in my application of that gift. Some of those things mean that, for example, I might have thought they were my gifts, and so I would take everything personally, or maybe I would strive to receive credit for it without the humility that we know is really important for us to be successful in a way that still keeps us safe and happy in life. So sometimes with young people, you might have gifts and talents and you know they're strong. And what this verse is telling you is that your focus really is to learn to value them as gifts and blessings from God and learn to use them wisely. And one of the ways that I think that we can learn how to use our gifts wisely is to have mentors, and they're called sages, that have been through a few things in life, maybe learned some things, because we're all very young once as well. So there's some things that we learned that I think we can pass on to the younger generation that might be able to allow you to actually get to where you see you should go faster. You know, God loves us first and foremost. He's more concerned about us as people than accomplishing things, okay? So if we step into something where maybe we just don't have quite the maturity level to handle, and it could risk us personally, it could risk our family, or it could risk our relationship with the Lord, I always just let him know that I really only want to receive promotion to the level that you know that my character can handle, okay? Because my relationship with God is more important than my accomplishments on this earth. And so I can trust him to keep me in a safe place and make sure that I'm humbling myself along the way to be able to receive things from God, but also maybe to have influence, to have maybe a lot of visibility, have wealth, those things. I just always want to make sure that God knows that my relationship with him is more important than all those things. And that may be a prayer that you're willing to have and to make with God as well, just to make sure that your maturity level is at a point that you can handle some of the blessings and maybe celebrity status some of you may be headed towards. And so much, and this is all like in this verse, it's a really packed verse actually. So more will be given. So then you're at that point where, okay, I think I've stewarded things well. I think I've gotten over myself, and I teach on that a lot in the purpose teaching. So you can go back in the archives. I actually covered that early in the program, in the early episodes. But I'm kind of get to that point where I make sure that I realize I have that separation, understanding that the gifts and talents are not mine, and that I need to make sure I'm applying those in a way that is humble. And it's the best way for me to stay humble is to just constantly recognize that without him, okay, I could do none of this, right? So it says more will be given. So we can believe for more as we grow older. And I think that's why you see people that get in that age, maybe Lance says like between maybe the 55 and 80 is kind of your time of convergence. And so that's that time in our lives. And I'm right in that spot, actually, for my age. That's kind of at that time where you start to see the things that the Lord has done in your life and taught you along the way. So it's sort of like your purpose sort of collides in a way with your gifts and talents. And when those come together, it's a time of convergence where you start to really move forward strongly in your purpose. And so a lot of times you'll see people have multiple gifts and talents, or all at once something will kind of drop in that's totally unexpected. Might be like, you know, they've been in banking all their life like I was. I guess I can use myself as an example in banking all my life. And all at once, you know, this gift of home staging kind of drops in. It's like, where did that come from? Well, that came from God. So more will be given and we will be richly supplied so that we will have an abundance. Do you know God is full of everything that you need? He is never going to run out of abundance. He's never going to run out of knowledge. He's never going to run out of wisdom. He is a well that just doesn't have a bottom, right? And he is in us, so we always have access to that abundance. But it goes on to say, from the one who does not have. And so if you're saying, Karen, I don't have any gifts and talents, I'm going to say this gently, but the word tells us why. You probably do, first of all, and a lot of times we just don't recognize it. But God says in his word here that because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God. So if you're in that situation where you just don't know what you're supposed to do, you really feel you have no gifts and talents, I will tell you that the word is saying that at some point you have ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts in you. You do have talent. You do have gifts. And it's time to go back, get with him, and ask him to reveal that. It might even be a time to repent for ignoring or disregarding the gifts. You know, sometimes it's not even our fault. Sometimes we have influences, and I would say even parents. You know, I think I've been pretty transparent with this, but I can repeat the story. Is that when Levi was growing up, I had an idea of what I thought he should do. Okay, he came from a lineage basically of bankers, right, in the corporate world, and I was one of them. And so it's easy for us to put that expectation on our children. But the Lord tells us in his word that as parents, we actually have a responsibility to train and bring up our children in the bent or the gifts and talents that he's placed in him. But sometimes what we do, because of we're ignorant or we're just not mature enough, or we don't have a good understanding of this, is we look at our children and we decide that they should be what I was, what my dad was, what my grandpa was, and we don't really help them to bring out that bent or gifts and talents in their life. So parents have a responsibility to do that. However, if you are one of those people that maybe were trying to be influenced to do something you didn't really feel that you were called or equipped to do, you don't need to just say, oh my gosh, I was brought up bad. My parents made a mistake. It's like, no. It's like, it's good to recognize that, okay? But we are all responsible for our lives. And so this might be a time listening to this where you just say, you know what? I remember back when I was 8 years old, 9 years old, maybe younger, I really loved to do this, okay? I've talked to a lot of people, this is very interesting, that when they were younger, they loved to draw, okay? That's a creative gift. So maybe that was you, or maybe you like to play house, you know, like to organize a household. Maybe you like to pretend that you were teaching, you know, and so when friends came over, you always wanted to have them sit down and you were going to teach them. Those are things that when you go back and think about, I believe God will use some of those memories to help reveal to you what your gifts and talents are, which will help you to really connect back with your purpose. And then he goes on to say, even what he does have will be taken away. So You know, that seems a little stern, but honestly, it's really not stern. I think it's God saying, like, look, it's so important. He knows what's best for us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be fulfilled. Okay, those are all very, very important to him. And so I love that the word, he's just like straightforward with it. So he's like, you know what? You don't want to disregard your gifts and talents. And he kind of warns us and says, you know, they'll be taken away. And so in that situation, I like it because I can go and say, you know what? Have I ignored anything? Have I disregarded anything? Is there anything, Lord, that you called me to do that because of my own agenda or maybe other people's influence, I've just set aside? And I can just say, you know what? Show me what those are, because my heart is to really do what you want me to do. I believe that's going to help someone today. So here's another great scripture that I think is so encouraging. It's going to give you confidence to have faith to complete that vision and bring it to reality. Working out of your purpose provides the opportunity to live in perpetual success and satisfaction. Proverbs 19:21 says this, "Many plans are in a person's mind, but the Lord's purpose will succeed." Not might succeed. Not maybe will succeed. It says many plans are in a person's mind, but the Lord's purpose will succeed. That is so encouraging, and that will help us to walk forward boldly into success. So let's, with our remaining time, we just have a few minutes on this program, but I want to talk about another step in our vision to reality. So we talked in an earlier program about your vision. What's your vision? What has God shown you? And we talked about how to define the vision, define the mission, and really to line up that vision with not only what God wants to accomplish through that, but your employees, your team. You need to know what that vision is going to accomplish to bless people, which includes your employees and your team members. So I kind of walked you through some things that you can do with that in the earlier program. We talked about the importance of a plan. Remember, I was sharing with you that if you don't have a plan, nothing happens. I've got a kind of a cute quote here I'm going to share. It says, "A visionary may look like they are going against the grain when in fact they are simply created to focus on what's next." I've got this picture, and it's on my Facebook page if you want to connect with me on there, and one of the posts from a while ago. Maybe I'll repost it. But there was I was in Florida, and I was at Cocoa Beach, is where we go a lot. And we don't go in the tourist area. We kind of go in a very quiet part. And I was looking at these seagulls, okay? And it was crazy. All these seagulls were lined up. They were gray seagulls with kind of like an orange beak, and they were all like at an angle looking out into the ocean at the certain angle. And then I noticed there was a seagull in the middle of the group, and it was completely white, and it still had, they have like a little black part, and they have the beak, and it was literally facing exactly opposite of the rest of the seagulls. And I was like, what is going on there? I should probably study it. I'm sure there's a reason for it. And some of you are saying, Karen, just, you know, Google it and you'll find out why. But I noticed that it had to be the leader, and he was looking completely opposite. And when I looked at that, I thought, you know, why is that seagull going against the grain of the crowd? And I felt like the Lord was just showing me, like, no, that's a leader. Okay. He scoped out what they're to do and gave them directions. And now he's looking out and focusing on what they are supposed to do next. So I'm going to repost that, you guys. So if you want to see that picture, it's really quite fascinating to look at. You can connect with me on Facebook. I have a public figure page I think would be the best one for you. So just search for Karen Conrad, and you'll find me with my picture. So again, we're talking about implementation. And I've mentioned to you, in my 30-plus years of business and leadership, the one thing that I have seen that sets successful organizations and businesses apart is successful implementation. And that is not possible without a plan. We have a boatload of good ideas, many of us do, but unless you bring that person in the room that is actually going to pull that together with the ideas and document it and make sure that it's being done, it will not happen. And even if you don't have that gift, find somebody that does. And then step three is the SWOT, and that's a very powerful tool. Your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I think one of the biggest advantages of the SWOT is it really creates the ability for people to share and to talk freely without feeling like they are doing something that would, cause emotions or cause something, like I'm going against you personally or something. It's just a great format. And the step that I want to introduce to you today, but I will cover in detail, is step four, and it is complete a business model canvas. So the best person I know that's an expert in this is Billy Epperhart. He is phenomenal at understanding the business model canvas. And this is a tool that we use when we work with every organization. We work with them to build a strategic business plan. And we go through all the steps that I'm sharing with you. We've got a couple more tools that we use. But the business model canvas is really a blueprint for your business that's extremely practical. And so we are already out of time today. I want to thank you so much for joining me on Seven Mountains Kingdom Business Radio. Again, I'm your host, Karen Conrad. And we will continue next week, and we will go in depth with completing a business model canvas, which is step four in bringing your vision to reality. God bless you and make it a great day.
You've been listening to Seven Mountain Business Radio. Heard every Saturday morning at 6:30 on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.